Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for making us part of your Monday morning. I do appreciate that. And starting off the show today, we've got a trio of 4-H livestock members here in the studio this morning. And we've got Justin, Becky, and Hannah. Did I get those right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you want to kind of run down, then people can kind of associate voice with name and figure out who you are, since they can't actually see you in here. Why don't you run down, like, Justin, start off and just kind of introduce yourself, let people know maybe how old you are, what grade, school, you know, the normal stuff.
So I graduated from Capital High School this year. I'm 18 years old, and I show cattle, sheep, and I do indoor projects.
Okay.
I'm Becky DeMontney. I'm 18. I just graduated from Helena High, and I'm going to Bozeman for vet school, and I show cattle.
So you're not nearly as busy as Justin.
I guess.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, you're smarter about it, maybe. All right, you're last there, Hannah.
All right, I'm Hannah Deal. I'm 18 years old. I already graduated from homeschooling. I do sheep and steer, and yeah.
Okay. You headed off to college anywhere? Or?
Not this year.
Not yet?
Nope.
Did you say, Justin, did I miss that?
No, I missed that.
Okay.
Becky added that to her.
Yeah.
I'm going to Helen College just for generals.
Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in. These guys actually have been chilling out here in the building for a while now. They were next door with Keith and Whitney earlier. And then they were willing to kind of stick around and hang out. They discovered that our recliner goes way back in the in the break room. I don't think they discovered Netflix, though.
No, we didn't.
We've got Netflix hooked up in there even. So next time you come in when you're hanging out. So how long have all of you been involved with 4-H? My guess is it's been a little while for all of you.
Yeah, I joined when I was 9 and in second grade. So I've been in 4-H for 9 or 10 years.
Okay. Becky, how about you?
I think I joined when I was 10.
Okay. Hannah?
I joined when I was a clover bud, so a lot of years, but for doing animals, I've been doing it for 9 years.
Okay. So this is a long time thing for you guys. What is it that, I guess a two-part question, what is it that made you want to join up, and then why stick with it for so long?
So my older sisters were a part of 4-H, so I kind of just wanted to follow in their footsteps. And then my dad was in 4-H when he was growing up in Minnesota. So
it's just required for you?
Yeah, basically for my family. And then I've stuck with it just because of all the different opportunities it's gave me. And then I enjoy the fair and showing livestock. So.
Okay. Girls, who's up next? We're just running down the line for this stuff.
I joined originally just because I had a bunch of friends that were in it and wanted me to join them as well. But then it kind of became like my passion. And because of 4-H, that's what led me to want to get into vet school. Mm-hmm. And so 4-H has kind of led me to like what I want to do. And then also I raise registered Herefords, and so it's taught me a lot about that and the work ethic that goes along with it, and so I've always just held with it because it has taught me so much, and then I get so many like benefits and rewards from it as well.
You're last. You're next to go.
All right.
She sat at the very end, but she can't escape.
Okay.
Go ahead, Hannah.
Okay, so my siblings were in it. My two older sisters were in it before me, so I kind of just as well followed in their footsteps. And I guess the reason why I stuck with it is because, so I raise sheep, and from the beginning, the first time I had a sheep, that was bought back from my dad, and I started a breeding program with her. So that's kind of just stuck with me, and I just love 4-H. It's kind of just part of my life, I guess.
Well, and it keeps you guys constantly busy, but right now probably the busiest in your schedule, right? These couple of 2-3 weeks right in this area, you've got to be pretty busy right now, right?
Yes.
Very.
Yes.
Yeah. So how are you managing to sneak in here for a while, right? Like, there's things piling up on you as you sit here, isn't there?
Yes. Yes, yeah. There is.
So, I mean, and that's what we're talking about this morning. We've got a trio of 4-H'ers in here, and we're talking this morning 4-H livestock, indoor projects. Also, they're going to be on display during the Last Chance Stampede. Also, the livestock sale and the auction. I mean, it's a very busy few days for you guys. What time do you start getting ready for this? Is it basically the day or, you know, the Monday after
last
the Stampede
year.
Finishes?
Last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it takes a very long time. Yeah. I mean, this is 4-H Super Bowl, right?
It
yes.
is.
Yes. Yeah. That makes for sure.
Yeah. So this is a big time. I mean, it's got to be sort of a mix of, I mean, you got to be excited, but there's also got to be a little bit of just anxiousness and nervousness, right?
There's a bit of everything.
Yeah.
A little stress.
It help having been through, I mean, you've been through it multiple times before, so that has to help things a little bit. You kind of know how things work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's definitely prepared us for it, but like with most of us, it's for us three, it's kind of our last year in 4-H, and this is our last fair, so it's, for us, it's really the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We're at the finish line.
Yeah. I mean, so you work a long time for this. How many hours would you guess go? I know obviously it's dependent on the animal, you know, the breed and even specific animals, I would guess. But just in general, what are the hours involved in getting one animal ready to show at the fair?
Daily, I would say I probably put in around 9 hours a day, like with my steers, between feeding, walking, rinsing, clipping, and that's every single day.
For a whole year?
Yeah, I got my steer in October, so we've put in quite a bit of time.
Yeah. How about you, Justin? I mean, because you've got lots of your areas and interests vary, so
yeah.
You can kind of compare different animals.
Yeah, so I get my steers in November, and there's a large time commitment with that all the way through. And then sheep, I don't start taking care of, or I don't get that lamb until late April, so there's less time commitment with it. But sheep are usually a little bit more stubborn to train than steers are, even though steers outweigh you by quite a few times. But and then I do indoor projects, so I restore old farm equipment, so that will take just as much time or mm-hmm. sometimes even more time than my steers or sheep. So
how about you for Hannah? I mean, is that pretty standard for you as well?
Yeah, but I mean, for a sheep it's different just because I'm out there actually raising my 4-H project from mm-hmm. once it was born all the way to actually when I start training it to show. So it's that happens January, February, all the way to fair. So
what does that look like? And I mean, when we talk about training an animal to show, I mean, because I think we just think, we've been into the barn, we know the animals just stand there and we look at them, right? Like,
yeah.
What goes into this? When you say training an animal for show, what is that?
So basically it's, I mean, I guess it would start with like taming it, making it comfortable around you, and then teaching it to walk in the ring. Because, I mean, for a sheep, you don't have a halter, so you have to use your hands, and you have to teach that lamb not to run away from you in the ring, because like that's a total like, oh, you're eliminated. So it's just really a lot of hands-on activities that you constantly do with your animals.
Okay. And so, I mean, we know how to train a dog, right? I mean, it's all like treat based and rewarding. I mean, is it the same for sheep? I mean, when you get down to it, I mean, what does that look like?
It's somewhat, I don't carry around a pocket of treats.
Yeah.
I just don't. but it's definitely just a lot of repetition of showing the lamb what you want it to do and letting it kind of realize, oh, this is what the person wants me to do. And if I hurry up and do this correctly, then I get to be let go and get to run around in my pen.
They'll quit bothering me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they're just that stubborn that they just don't want to. Yeah. So.
So it depends on how much they just want to get away from you. That's how much they'll do what they want to do.
Yeah.
What you want them to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got we've talked lamb, sheep. We've talked steers, that sort of thing. What else is on display when we talk animals and 4-H and the Stampede?
There are swine in the barn, like we said, cattle, dairy animals, goats, rabbits, chickens, sheep.
And sometimes a turkey.
Yeah. And then the 4-H horse shows, the Saturday before the fair, and then the 4-H dog shows the Sunday before the fair. And then you have all the indoor projects, which range from self-determined projects, which that's what I put my restoring antique farm equipment under, to food, to welding, to sewing quilts, photography. And then one that doesn't usually get recognized at the fair, but is the largest, almost the largest part of 4-H in Lewis and Clark County, is our shooting sports program. We have a large shooting sports program that runs through the fall, winter, and spring.
So. Okay. So when we talk animals, ultimately, why are they there? I mean, what's the reason you guys are going through this whole thing?
The reason is the sale at the end of the week, and also the experience. It's the experience of learning how to train that animal, the responsibility behind that, being able to learn that work ethic and learn how to be professional and how to show that animal in a professional manner.
And it all comes down to the quality products that we produce for our buyers and people around our town.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Hannah and Becky and Justin in chatting with us this morning. We're talking 4-H. And you know what? We've still got a little bit of time. We do have to take a break. Do you guys mind? We take a break, come back, and we chat more animals and 4-H. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're here. We might as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Stick around. We got more 4-H coming up after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. Welcome back in. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around. Justin, Becky, and Hannah sticking around as well. We're talking 4-H this morning and the Last Chance Stampede Fair and Rodeo coming up. And these guys all have all sorts of critters that are going to be in this thing. We talk about the animals being judged, right? What does that look like? I mean, what's the process that they go through? What are they judged on? What's that look like?
They're judged on their muscle components, their bone structure, just how much product that they have to offer, really, and then like what quality that's at. So you look at how they're standing, how deep they are, how big their butt is, all that stuff.
Okay. And then it's also the showing portion of it, right? Like, I mean, that's almost your component, right, how did these – go ahead.
So what she just described would be what the judge would look for in a market class. Mm-hmm. And then in showmanship class, the judge is judging the 4-H'er on the quality of how that 4-H'er is presenting that animal.
You can present them in a certain way that they're like – body components stick out, and so if you do a good job of showing them, they could potentially look better in the show ring to the judge. And so it's not only how the animal looks, it's how we work with them and then how that pays off in the show ring.
So is it a single judge? Is there a panel? Or what does this look like?
It's a single judge that he'll actually judge all the animals. He'll judge the goats, the sheep, the pigs, and the beef all for or the throughout three different days on the fair. So
okay, and then when this all finishes up, what do they win? Or I guess what do you win? Right? It's not so much what does the animal win.
Banner.
Yeah, a banner.
I mean, because they get ribbons. They get. I mean, there's different different colored ribbons. There's
yeah,
right?
And if you get grand and reserve, you get moved to the front of the sale. So
okay, so when people still have their money.
Yeah.
You don't want to be last in line when the guy's like, I got 20 bucks left.
Yeah. Well, sometimes last is good because you get two guys that are like, oh, I need a pig and forgot I haven't bought one yet. So they run up the last pig trying to get it.
But okay.
It's and always a gamble.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's sort of the ultimate end goal of all this, right? I mean, you raise these things like the sheep, you're starting as a lamb, you're raising it. From the start, and the whole point is to raise it so that you can auction it off so somebody can go and eat it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's sort of that's cycle of life in a year for you guys.
Yeah. That's how the livestock and ranching farming community is that the point of raising these animals is that they'll one day go to be on someone's dinner plate.
Right. Does it make it different, though? I mean, when we're talking farmers, ranchers, I mean, they've got a herd of sheep, right? They've got a herd of cattle. It's not as personal, right? Like, I mean,
right.
Yeah. At one level, you've almost got a pet here.
Oh, I do.
Oh,
Yeah.
So what is that? I mean, that's got to make it a little bit different.
It's really challenging.
It can be a rough Saturday when we're selling animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, for my steer, since I spend so much time with them, they get so used to you that it really is like a pet. Like I go out to my pen and the steer's laying down and he just lets me lay on top of him. Like it's just a pet.
Yeah. So how many animals are we talking about all told? I mean, how many animals are going to be shown? I guess it's next weekend.
Yeah.
There's around 50 steers, I believe.
Yeah. And then about 50 lambs, I want to say 20 goats, maybe.
Yeah, that's what they said.
And then there's like 110 hogs, something around there.
Okay.
And then there'll be, I think, like 30 rabbits and 30 chickens or something.
But as you pointed out, it's not all animals either. I mean, there's other stuff that's going to be on display indoors, right?
Yep. Yeah. So there's the outdoor livestock part, and then you have all the indoor projects that will be on display in the air-conditioned building at the fairgrounds.
Yeah. I mean, it's always interesting to go in there, but it's also nice to get in that air conditioning.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I love looking around in there. There's a lot of cool stuff. I didn't enter anything this year. I like entering. Like, I'm good in the kitchen, guys. I've won some ribbons with cookies and pies at this thing. I know what I'm doing. Lots of cool stuff to look at in there. And then, so when we're talking about the sale of these animals, there's also an auction for other items too, right?
Yeah.
Some of that indoor stuff?
Yeah. So the livestock sale is Saturday the 27th at 11 o'clock. And then we have a buyer's dinner following that. So any buyer that bought an animal will be able to go to the 4-H building right next door to the Red Barn and will be able to get a free meal there as a thank you to them. And then at 5 o'clock that night in the big building at the fairgrounds, they'll have the indoor auction, which there they'll be selling cinnamon rolls, buns. There's always pictures, usually a few woodworking projects, and you can basically get some good quality food and good quality woodworking projects and stuff.
So when we're talking to the folks that are buying these hogs or the sheep, whatever, who is it? I mean, who's sitting in there raising their paddles and bidding on your stuff?
There are greatly appreciated business owners in our Helena community.
That's the answer, huh?
Yeah. It's all the business owners around the community that for the livestock side, 4-H wouldn't be possible without them.
Right.
Because we use that money for I'll be tapping into that money this year to go off to Helena College this fall. And I've used that money in the past to be able to pay for feed, pay for the animal, and to buy my animal for the next year.
So ultimately, it depends a little bit on, of course, the animal, on market price, on how you do. You know, there's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
But just in general, give us a just your average run-of-the-mill sale. What's it going to look like for these animals? I mean, what's the check that somebody's going to be writing for, say, a hog or a steer or I don't know. I'll put you on the spot with numbers.
200 times, like 3, 6. I would say for a hog, if you bought a hog that weighed like 250 pounds, and I don't know what hog prices are now.
At our auction, they don't really depend on, well, they do depend on market prices, but our buyers, usually for hog prices, by pound, it ranges anywhere from $2 to $5 a pound. For steers, it ranges from $2 to $4 a pound. And that's basically the same thing for lambs and goats as well.
Yeah. Okay. So, honestly, it's pretty affordable if somebody just wants to, frankly, fill up a chest freezer.
Yeah.
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 Right? I mean,
there are several things that you can do with buying a 4-H animal. You can buy it and send it to either Tizer Meats or K&S Processing, which are two processors that I know of right now. And you get to then talk to them and you get to take the meat home, or you can put it to resale, which you will pay the price difference between what the resale buyer has agreed to pay for and what you bid it on, and then the resale buyer will take that animal and you don't have to worry about that animal. Or you can donate it back to the foundation, so the money will go to the kid, but the second time the animal sold, that money will be sent to the 4-H Foundation, which they help everyone in the 4-H community with purchasing new livestock panels or stuff.
So there's a lot of ways that people can support you guys through these auctions.
Definitely.
It doesn't even necessarily have to be somebody, you know, I go down, okay, I don't know what I can do with a hog, right?
Like,
or I can't handle a whole steer, or I can't, but there are ways where somebody can go and purchase that animal, and you've got various avenues where they can help out then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. If you aren't really ready to buy an animal, though, head on over to the other auction. You can buy, like you said, woodworking or photography.
And that's always a fun auction.
And that money is basically doing the same thing, right? I mean, it's going back into 4-H?
Yep, that goes directly back to the kid.
Okay. So when does all of this start that we can see? I mean, when can I go down there and look at all this stuff?
Wednesday night, I believe, is when... When the concert starts, whatever, Wednesday, so I believe that's when the fairgrounds opens to the public. But the animals will be on display all the ways Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday morning's the sale.
Okay, so get down there early ahead of Clint Black, and you can go check out this stuff inside, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And the barn closes at 10 p.m.
Okay.
So...
We've got just a couple minutes left. I was going to ask, you know, if people want to find out more about the exhibits, the auction, 4-H in general, I mean, what should they do? Is there a good website? Is there a good contact? I mean, how do people find out more information?
So for the 4-H sale, we created a website this year for it. So it is lc4hsale.com. So you can go there, and that has... a how-to page which goes through and explains the entire process, frequently asked questions, and there's contact information on there. If you have more questions, you can contact someone. Or if you want to learn more about 4-H in general, I don't know which website.
There's an extension website that MSU puts out, and it has information about all 4-H components together. And I think that's Lewis and Clark Extension, or Lewis and Clark 4-H Extension.
Yeah, it's a really long website.
Yeah, but yeah. Super long. But if you look up the local extension office.
Yeah, yep. Google 4-H Helena, Montana, you'll be
And they're down there at the fairgrounds, right?
Yeah.
There's the office.
Yeah, they're down right by the fairgrounds office.
Yes. Let's see, we're down to our last minute. And Hannah, you've been successfully kind of hiding behind the mic stand there. If somebody's thinking about maybe joining 4-H, right? They're listening, or if there's somebody that's, you know, that's got a kiddo that's like, you know what, my kid loves animals. What would your advice to them be? You've been doing this for a long time. Obviously, it's something you love.
Yeah, contact extension agents or just, I guess, the superintendent of that species. Try to get involved, sign up for it. Really just, there's pages that help you know what to do and get to it, like they were saying. But sign up your form, look into it, find a club. You always have to be in a club to be in 4-H or do any of the projects. But really just contact people and see how you can, I guess, get involved more. And they will help you along the way.
Yeah, and there's lots of clubs based on what time you can meet, what your subject of interest is. There's all sorts of
it. I think there's 23 clubs.
24 clubs.
Yeah. 24 clubs or something.
So yeah, so a large check out the extension office. They'll get you connected. But guys, I'm sure you've got animals to take care of, and you've got a farm implement to get the rust off of. And so I appreciate you coming in. Hannah Deal, Justin Patton, and Becky. Now I'm forgetting how to pronounce your last name.
DeMontney.
Thanks, guys, for coming in. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's all the time we have for Coffee Break this morning. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.